Tonight's lesson is centered around something that we probably may all have dealt with in our life at one time or another, sort of a practical little lesson, because we'll talk about anger. Have you ever been angry at any time? I bet you have. And I don't see this as a congregation that needs a lot of talking to about this particular topic, but I would imagine it would fit very well in any congregation of the Lord's Church anywhere in the world. And certainly I'm not the last word on it all, but God's word is, and so we'll look at that and study about that. Some people don't seem to get angry. You know, it's kind of amazing. We had a student in the School of Preaching was that way. And one time we had a counselor who came through, and he was teaching us a course about counseling and how to counsel, personal counseling, all that. And he interviewed different students, and when he would interview us, he would ask us, "Do you ever get angry?" Of course, most of us had to say, "Well, sure, we do." He said, "No, I don't ever get angry." He said, "You mean you never get angry?" He said, "No, I just never have been angry." And he said, "That's not good." And the boy looked at him there, our student looked at him and said, "I thought that's how you were supposed to be, is not ever be angry." "No," he said, "that's not normal." He said, "That's not healthy." He said, "Chances are you probably do have anger, you're just not dealing with it." And so in all honesty, we probably all have dealt with anger in our life at one time or another. Even Jesus did. I mean, he dealt with anger some, and we're going to look at that and see the way he dealt with his anger and what he did, the proper way, of course. But it is something that, you know, we have to look at in our life. In an article in Newsweek, it said something about two different approaches to anger. One would be if you go ahead and just ventilate, and just say what's on your mind and just go ahead and lamb blast whoever is in the area that you feel like needs to hear what you've got to say, that it could reduce your blood pressure. But at the same time, it could cause a lot of problems between you and those individuals, and you could burn some bridges. So that's not good. On the other hand, if you store up everything inside and don't ever say anything to anybody about anything when you have any kind of anger, well, your blood pressure will go up, but you might have more friends that way. So what do you do? And probably the answer would be that neither one of those models would be exactly correct all the time, but we'll look more at what the Bible has to say about it. It'll be the final word on all things. If we were to take an overall look at anger, we go back into the Old Testament. The Old Testament books say a lot about anger, and we'll just pick out just a little smattering of some of those verses and apply them tonight. For example, if you were to go to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 17, it would say there, "He who is quick-tempered acts foolishly." Quick-tempered. You ever know anybody that's quick-tempered? Are you quick-tempered? Do you have a short fuse? What about road rage? Anybody ever dealt with road rage? What about when that person just cuts right in front of you and does not ask for permission? The other day I was in that turn lane where the traffic light lasts about 15 minutes, it seems like, if you're wanting to turn off of Airline onto Clearview. And this sweet little young lady looked at me and asked, like, "Could I get in there?" And of course, I'm glad to do that. But then you have some people who just go ahead and just jerk right in that lane. They don't care if you like it or not. And all kinds of things can go on. And maybe you've already had a bad morning anyway. And you can just see how people can get, you can just kind of feel yourself feeling a little bit of anger building up inside of you. Maybe a lot of anger. In Nashville, Tennessee, there was a man and a woman who had some difficulty on the highway, on the interstate. And this woman got real angry, and the traffic kind of slowed down some. And finally, I think she pulled over, and the man pulled over behind her. And she had a convertible, had a little dog in the front seat. He grabbed the dog and threw it out in the traffic. He got so angry at her. Now, I don't think that's how you ought to do. Do you, Brother Jim? That don't seem like the right thing to do. It may be that you don't get angry so much about issues with yourself, but maybe like with children or family, I can see how that sometimes can cause you to just, you can feel the old blood pressure going up. You know, don't mind saying anything about you, but don't mess with your children, right? And so that can sometimes happen, and you can get a little bit quick-tempered about that. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." And so that's some powerful advice. Psalm 37:8, "Cease from anger, forsake wrath, and do not fret, it only causes harm." You ever thought about how sometimes you can be in a situation where you just get tense inside and you just kind of feel anger and frustration, and it dawns on you there's just not a thing you can do about it? Not one thing you can do about it. You are stuck on the Huey P. Long, and traffic is not moving. Where are you going to go anyway? You couldn't back up on it. Even if you had a chance, they had some people that did it the other day, but, you know, what are you going to do? You're just there. And so you just might as well just enjoy it, I guess, the best you can. Listen to the radio or something. If you've got a Bible tape, you might pop that in and listen to that. So that's good advice, though, from the Word of God. In the New Testament, it shows that anger is not compatible with the Christian disposition, but also the Holy Spirit in His mercy and generosity shares with us something about what to do concerning anger. And it's really important, and we'll focus in on that more later on. But the passage I'm thinking about, if you want to go ahead and turn to it, because we'll spend a little bit of time there, would be Ephesians 4. And you'll be looking at some verses like Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, and then also 31 and 32. We'll look at those here later on. And then in Colossians 3:8, we're told that these things are among the things that have to be put off. Put off, and in the original language, that's a real strong language. It's like stripped away. You get rid of them. Just like if you had a coat that's on fire, you get rid of that thing and come out of it. And that's how it is with Christianity. You get rid of some of those things. In James 1, the powerful passage of being swift to hear, slow to speak, and then you remember the last part of that one, that's pertinent to our lesson tonight, and that is that you're very slow to anger. James 1, verse 19 and verse 20. And then verse 20 is the one that we sometimes don't focus in on as much, but it says that the anger of man, wrath of man, does not produce the righteousness of God. And so our anger does not measure up with or equal to God being approving of that or saying that this is the right way for man to behave. We also know, though, that if you look at Jesus' life, that He expressed anger on different occasions. And we'll look a little bit at the pattern of what He did and how He handled His anger. He was angry toward the money changers in John chapter 2, 13 through 17. I think He was angry toward the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 when He pronounced the sevenfold woes upon them. And I would have a feeling that He was very frustrated on that occasion, not certainly with any kind of anger out of control, but I think He was frustrated with them. God can be referred to as a God of anger. Yeah, that's right. Romans 1:18, God of wrath. Romans chapter 2, verse 5, again, wrath of God. On the sons, or wrath of God on sons of disobedience, Ephesians 5:6, but Romans 1:18 and Romans 2:5 both talk about God's anger directed toward the Gentiles, chapter 1 of Romans, then the Jews, chapter 2 of Romans. And so we can see that that's something that appears in the New Testament. If you look at the anger of God and you watch how He did, His anger is always a just reaction to evil. God doesn't make mistakes on His anger. We already knew that, didn't we? But Romans 1:18, He was angry from heaven toward all these Gentiles because of the ugly way in which they were living. They had looked at Jehovah, and instead of learning lessons about Him, they end up evolving into a pattern of idolatry that causes Jehovah to just give them over to a reprobate mind. And then you have that wrath of God concept that's referred there to in Romans 1. Just as angry toward the Jews in Romans 2, because these were people who were teachers. They were supposed to be able to be the ones who knew the Bible answers on all the questions. And yet their behavior pattern was just as bad, teaching others to not steal, and they themselves stole, teaching others not to commit adultery, they committed adultery, and so forth. And God's anger was never misguided. He always properly manifested His anger in every situation. Look how patient He was with Sodom and Gomorrah. But they pushed Him to the limit. He was so merciful that Abraham quit asking before he quit giving. Abraham finally whittled the number down to 10. If he could find 10 righteous souls, would God spare those cities, those twin cities of evil? God said, yes, I will. And yet couldn't find 10 righteous souls. And we see the anger of God on that particular occasion. The anger of God, which seems to have had been like a flashpoint anger at one point, was directed against Israel when He just says, let me just go ahead and consume them in my wrath because of their sinfulness, their idolatry, their sensuality, all those things. And then He lets Moses plead for them, and then Moses appears to win God back over again. You know, don't punish, don't kill all these people because, you know, all the things that are said about you among all the nations, then your reputation could be hurt and so forth. I think God knew all the time what Moses was going to say, and He let Moses go ahead and allegedly just kind of talk him out of killing the Israelites on that occasion. So His anger was always under control at all times. But with man, we don't always do so well. Our anger can be misguided. You've seen situations, athletic situations, and on pro levels, just maybe even worse than some of the amateur levels, where One person takes a swing at another. Here comes people off the bench. The bench clears, and the next thing you know, people are punching at everybody. And you may see one player hitting somebody. It might even be his own teammate by the time the thing's through. They don't know where their anger is all being directed, and maybe not even know for sure what even got the fight started in the first place. And so as human beings, we sometimes are misguided, and we misdirect our anger. While we may be angry toward someone else or express anger toward them, truth of the matter was we were angry toward ourselves. Half the time, whenever I get angry toward somebody else, deep down, it's something I'm mad at about me. And so that happens a lot of times. Ignorance, don't have the full picture. And that maybe I then assume certain things that are totally incorrect, false presumptions, misunderstandings, and so forth. How many times have you had something between you and a brother or sister in Christ? And that's what we're concerned about probably more than anything tonight, but certainly your relationship to the world is equally important, because every day you're out there, you're selling Jesus Christ, or else not selling Him to the world that we live in. But how many times have you had situations with a brother or sister in Christ, and you just thought, well, I don't know why they did this or said this, and I'm really angry, and then the idea is, well, why don't we just sit down and talk about it? And you sit down and talk about it, and within probably 15 or 20 minutes, you realize the whole thing was just a misunderstanding. And next thing you know, each person says, well, you know, I think I said what I did because of this. And the other person says, well, I said this because of this particular thing. And I shouldn't have said that. Well, I shouldn't have said this either. And next thing you know, you've got the whole thing ironed out because you sit down and try to work these things out. And that's exactly what Jesus talks to us about in Matthew 18, 15 through 18. Hardly ever do you have to go past stage one. God, you would expect, would be the same way, and He is the same way as far as trying to hurry and work things out. Look what happens when Adam sins. God just rushes to him. Adam, where are you? Say, Adam, where are you? And it's like, let's get this thing worked out. Let's see if we can straighten all this out right now, because I love you so much, and I want to be in fellowship with you. And we should be, of course, the same way. That's a little bit about God's anger. Christ's anger, yes, he had it. I've heard people before argue and say that now you can't prove Jesus was ever angry. Then I heard one preacher say he wasn't angry, he was righteously indignant. Is there any difference on that? Just sounds prettier, doesn't it? I'm not angry, I'm righteously indignant right now. So, but I think he was angry. But when he was angry, like toward the Pharisees or toward the money changers in the temple, there was nothing about it that was motivated by self-interest. He didn't have a feeling of petulance, like somebody has hurt his feelings and now he's going to lash out at them. He wasn't doing that because somebody hurt his mother's feelings or one of his brother's feelings or anything along that line. He thought they could hurt his father's feelings, and so he rushed to the defense of God, Almighty God. But he did not do it in his own self-interest. He had a holy anger against unrighteousness, which was abhorrent to God. Angry, but only for God's honor. On the other hand, when he's dying on the cross, and he could certainly have been very angry, as anyone would be whenever you're being hung upon a cross and people are reviling against you. You know what it says in 1 Peter 2, just as well as I do, 21 through 23, where we're challenged to follow the example of Jesus, who knew no sin, there was no guile in his mouth, found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he didn't revile again. What does he say? You know what he said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Only when things were going against his father did he display that righteous anger, like in the temple. Whereas with us, we need to follow that same pattern. Certainly there are times to remain silent. I don't remember many times I've remained silent and later on wished that I would have spoken out in a rash anger. But there have been times also I wish I would have spoken out when something was done against God and I just stayed silent. I hope you've never done that. But I'm afraid I have to plead guilty to that on some occasions. And then maybe turn right around and get so angry when someone has offended me personally. And yet I didn't even stand up for God like I should have. Well, the anger of God or anger of Christ, both well within the norm of how anger ought to be expressed. Of course, it would be that way. Now let's slip over here to Ephesians 4 while we're there. And you've got your Bible maybe already open to that. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27, the Apostle Paul says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. That's powerful, isn't it? He's letting us know two or three things right here. First of all, he's saying, and he knows we're going to read on at the end of the text, isn't he? Where it tells you to put away anger and wrath and all those things. So he's telling me to put away anger and wrath at the end of this passage, this chapter. But now he's telling me to be angry and sin not. So what's going on? Well, we're doing some harmonizing is what we're doing. The Holy Spirit is so wondrous and loving. And the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this letter, he knows we're going to be angry. He just knows it's going to happen. So he says you can be angry, though, and yet still not sin. Then that next part about letting the sun not go down upon your wrath. And so that's showing two different aspects of my anger that I need to always be aware of. First of all, it needs to be controlled anger. Because if it's not controlled, I could end up giving place to the devil. What does it mean to give place to the devil? It means that you're so out of control that anything could happen. And when anything could happen, then the devil is certainly the one who's in the driver's seat, not God anymore. You've probably not prayed about it. You're just angry. As people would say, I saw red. And so after that, I don't know what happened. There was a lady that had a violent argument with her husband one night. And, you know, after husbands and wives argue, there are times for maybe a few minutes that there's some intense anger that may go on in certain situations in certain parts of the United States. It could happen. But what generally happens over a period of time is if you just decide, let's call a truce to it and go to sleep, you would hopefully get over that. Or maybe tomorrow morning it looks better, you know, things look better. This lady apparently tossed and turned all night long and all during the night said, I'm going to kill my husband tomorrow morning. I'm going to kill my husband tomorrow morning. I'm going to kill my husband tomorrow morning. The alarm awakened her. She went and got a shotgun, shot her husband. That's Mary Winkler back a few months ago. Of course, that couldn't happen in the Lord's church. It did happen in the Lord's church. And so you're talking about an anger that was out of control, obviously, and an anger where a person just went ahead and said, I'm going to give my life over to the devil and just see what happens concerning that. Now, that's an extreme case. May never hear of that again in our lifetime. I hope we don't. But anything that fits within the realm of that, where I've let God out of the picture, run him out of the picture, put the devil in charge, is an uncontrolled kind of anger, horrifying situation. And so one of the things we do then is we control our anger. We are careful with that. And then the second thing, we'll talk a little more about that as we bring our lesson to a close tonight, is that we've got to try to get rid of it. It's got to be dispelled. He said, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. I know. That can sometimes be tough if the argument started around 8 o'clock in the evening, right? So what is he saying by that? There's got to be times when people might have to just say, we're going to have to just call a halt to it tonight and agree to disagree for right now and maybe work on it some more later on. I know that. But what he's saying is you want to get rid of it, whatever it is, between you and whoever, just as soon as you can. I mean, just as soon as you can, so that you don't have any bad feelings about that person. It's got to be dispelled. As a Christian, we want to be able to always say, I just love everybody. I love everybody. And I pray for everybody, not mad at anybody. I always like what Brother Charles Hodge would say. He'd say, I ain't mad at nobody. That's not correct grammar at all, is it? But I like that. You know, not mad at anybody right now. And the words that Paul is preaching on this and talking to us about this, he brings out these two words for anger and wrath that are real important. Thumos is the one most interpreted as wrath, and it's a sudden outburst of passionate anger. And then orgai is the word often translated as anger, which kind of rises gradually and then it settles. And by that, I mean that the person just keeps the anger. There's individuals out there in this world tonight, today, and everything, that they don't like each other, and they're never going to like each other, and they may have to work together, may have to live together, and they've already decided they don't like each other, and there's anger that's there between them, and it just stays there the whole time. The Apostle Paul says, you can't go on doing like that. You can't have that. You can't have the anger in your life as a Christian where you're just going to start screaming and yelling at people to blow off steam. That's sinful. And it's also sinful to have a lasting suppressed anger. Either one of those are devastating and dangerous to us, destructive to us, and put us in danger as far as our soul is concerned. but we want to put away that from our life. You know all the scriptures about how one becomes a Christian, becomes a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. So I'm not going to spend much time with that. We were slaves of sin, Romans 6:17. Now we're free from sin, Romans 6:18. We don't live under that type of domain and rulership anymore. We are instruments, our bodies are, ourselves are instruments of righteousness to be presented to God at all times. Romans 6:11 through 14 and verse 19. And we are transformed by the renewing of our minds so we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The renewing of our mind causes us to have our affection set on things above. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. And also, we want to put off things, put them away, like anger and wrath. Colossians 3, 8 through 11. Put on things like kindness, having things like peace in our life continually. And that's a critical thing we must have in our life. And it's accompanied by the Word of God and prayer continually in our life as we're striving to not have that type of problem going from day to day. Anger management, what do we do along that line? Just a couple of thoughts that have been presented by some experts along this line over the years that fit so well in the Word of God. One of those is, what am I going to do to try to help me if I have problems with anger? If that's the case in my life. One of the things is I want to get away from situations that have often been places and situations where I've gotten angry at times. You can't always avoid that. But that type of counseling is used in many ways, in many types of forms, where you have people who are trying to get away from sexual addictions or away from alcohol or drug addictions. There's a place that maybe a person could go where that type of thing seems to crop up quicker. And so I want to avoid that place. I wonder if Jesus knew about that. He did know about that. In Matthew 26 and verse 41, he says, you need to watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. He knew that there are certain situations a person can get into where they could be tempted. There's also certain situations I can get into where I could be angry. And that's why I'm told in Proverbs 4, 14 and 15 to stay off of that road. We're told there by the wise man Solomon, avoid it and don't even travel on it. I'm not going to go down that road. It's going to cause me to have this terrible anger that I have. I want to stay away from that. Also, I can reduce my anger by focusing on other types of emotions. And I can also be aware of different weapons of aggression that are out there that I don't want to be a part of. I don't want to have them in my life. I want to instead be thinking on the things that are true and that are noble and are just and are pure, like I'm told in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And of course, somewhere in here, this lesson, we've got to insert prayer even more fervently, don't we? I want to pray about it. I want to pray that I won't get angry. Respond calmly. I love it when you see someone maybe say something that might be a little out of line, and the person they say it to responds very calmly. I've not always been a professional at doing that type of thing, but I'm a real admirer of it. On one occasion in Jamaica, we had a campaign director, and he was driving. In Jamaica, you drive on the wrong side of the road. I'll just go ahead and tell you that, so you're in trouble to begin with. You're on the left-hand side of the road. And here comes this big Leyland truck down the road, and an angry driver gets close to us, and he starts, we get close together there, and he starts screaming at Dave. And probably cursing at him some too. And Dave said, sorry, sir. Just like that. I thought, now, Brother Mike, you can learn from that. There's the way to respond. And when you respond, when someone responds like that, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:1 that a soft answer turns away wrath. Don't you admire those who can just return maybe even a strong comment, an angry comment, just with a very soft answer? That's really good. It's good to, if a person is angry, think about where this anger could lead me if I allow it to keep on going like it is right now. What are some of the consequences of it? Oh, I wish Sister Winkler could have thought about things like that rather than doing what she did. And then again, Proverbs or Psalm 37:8, don't fret. Don't continue being angry because it just causes harm. Two or three other things you can just reveal yourself to others as far as saying, I've not had a good day. I didn't have much sleep last night, or I'm dealing with some frustrations right now. I'm just, I'm not myself today. And so I just want to go ahead and share that with you as my friends or as a spouse or whoever, and sort of put them on guard like that. And that might help out a little bit. People can't just keep treading around softly whenever they're around you at all time because, bless your heart, you had another bad day. I know that, but that could be helpful to kind of be just transparent and say, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just not in a good mood. I'm not in a good mood. I make it angry real quick. And then if you know that about them, too, that could help out, couldn't it? You might even say, are you not having a good day today or something? Be careful, though. Be careful when you do it. You could get bit, you know, by doing that. So be careful. And then some people, I really think, they just keep thinking about with the anger they have, they nurse it. And then inside it, they just keep nursing it and thinking, I wish I would have done this. Wish I would have said this to this person. And boy, they just nurse it like a woman nursing a little child. They just keep that anger and they hold it with them. And they keep it at all times. And so it just gets more and more. It develops more and more, grows more and more, and stays. Now I'm talking about what could be a family-type situation. You know, a situation where over the years you've got these family members and maybe in-laws and outlaws and whatnots that are, they get together on one time a year or whatever, and yet there's something brewing inside that family. And you just think one day there's going to be this big, massive explosion that takes place because everybody's been nursing this anger. As Christians, we can have no part with anything along that line. And then just never want to use temper to ever get our way. Some of you know some about the tennis world. I know a few do, Liz, and different ones out here, and we love the sport of tennis. And many people, even that don't know much about tennis, have heard of John McEnroe. And McEnroe, in his heyday, was truly a powerful athlete, a good champion. But oh, what a temper. He was like, they called him Super Brat. That was his nickname. Because he would scream and fuss about everything. And you know what? I think sometimes it may have worked because some of those umpires got so tired of putting up with him. I think it made it a little bit easier to go ahead and just let some of the calls go rather than contest him. Well, that's not a fair way for someone to get by in life. I don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. So we want to stay away from things along that line. So what is best? Let off steam, hurt other people's feelings, suppress your anger, bring up your blood pressure. Nah, not really either one. Let's follow God's word. And as we do that, we follow the example of Jesus. If someone does make you angry, don't get back at them. Don't revile again like Jesus did not. Do like Jesus. When reviled, he did not revile. 1 Peter 2:23. Cease from anger, forsake wrath as you're striving to live the Christian life. Now, you can be angry at the devil. That's fine. Be angry at sin. Break away from sin. This evening, if you aren't a Christian, I'm telling you there's never been a better time to become a New Testament Christian than right now. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ by putting Christ on in baptism, or if you need to come back to the Lord, if you would like for us to pray with you, we'd be honored to do that. Whatever those needs might be, we know that our Savior loves you, and He died for you, and He invites you to come to Him now as we stand and sing together.